It's B and E.
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, oh, oh. Wake up all the teachers, time to teach a new way.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am, you had better. Wake them up. Get them up, get them going on Monday on B&E. That is right. Another busy week. Second week of March launches right here, right now. 4 hours of fun and conversation, live, local, and digital, begins right now. Lot to do. What was good, what was bad, what was ugly for you over the weekend? We'll dive into all of it. Maybe the NBA All-Star Game was your fancy. Good golf over the weekend in Orlando. We had the Royal interview with Oprah last night. We had a lot going on, so we will dive in. It was a beautiful weekend in Austin, Texas. Hope you got a chance to get out and enjoy that. Appreciate you being here this morning. Early Bird always gets the worm. However you find us on 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260, and of course, as we say, live, local, and digital streaming on the Horn app, on your smart speaker, and at hornfm.com this morning and every morning and all day long right here on the Horn. Hope you had a great weekend. Buck, how was your weekend?
It was pretty good. Really was.
Good.
Did a lot of yard stuff. It was yard dogging weekend. It was a beautiful Friday, Saturday, and actually Sunday, too. It was a beautiful weekend. Good morning to the soldiers at Fort Hood, Texas, the soldiers in the state of Texas. Of course, all those that fight for us each and every day, thank you. Thank you, thank you. We do appreciate everything that you do for us, and we appreciate it each and every day.
There is.
So, thank you very much.
No doubt about that. No doubt. And it was a busy weekend on the fields of play for the Burnt Orange. Also, the Eyes of Texas President Committee report due tomorrow. We'll check in on the latest there. It's going to be out tomorrow. We'll see if it puts some finality on this ongoing controversy surrounding the Texas school song and all the vitriol that surrounds that. We'll certainly dive in there. We'll also talk about the good from the weekend, the bad and the ugly. Did you happen to see Coming to America?
I did.
You did?
Yes.
I did not have an opportunity to see it. Didn't have a chance, but had the folks in town this weekend, so didn't get to see it. How did you like it?
Yeah.
No?
No, it's not even close to the first one. You can't.
Thumbs down?
Just no thumbs. It was okay.
No thumbs.
It was over corny for me. It was way too corny.
Over corny.
Right? Yeah, it was over corny. A lot of movies, you know, second time around. You know, you have to think 30 years later and how, you know, the scene is different and everything. Everything's different about it. So it just didn't do much for me.
That was streaming this weekend on Amazon Prime. Isaiah Collier, a big smile on his face. Did you see the film?
I did.
And?
It was I.
That's what I mean. It just didn't.
It was
didn't,
I.
Yeah.
Can you spell that for me? I.
I-G-H-T.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I. How was the NBA All-Star game? I didn't see that either. Was it good?
Same. I.
170 to 150?
Yeah, when you're shooting damn near 60% from the three-point line, I mean, it was.
Layups.
I've never seen so many balls go in like that.
They can shoot, man. They're skilled.
And if you don't put an arm in their face, they're really skilled.
Yes.
Anything past the half-court line. Especially for Dame Lillard, and of course, Steph Curry is ridiculous.
Who won the three-point contest.
Yeah.
Jeez Louise, man. They knocked it out. I mean, Giannis, 16 for 16. Didn't miss a shot. No defense, right?
None. Oh, no. Nobody. I mean, if you're going in for a dunk, they'll just let you go. If you're going in uncontested layups, I mean, it is what it is. It's the All-Star game. That's why I don't have – I just don't.
Yeah.
That thing was late, too. That thing was starting. I mean, it was like 9:30 at half. I'm like, yeah, okay.
Okay,
I'm
good
not
night.
Staying up for this madness.
Good night. Dreamland coming.
Yeah.
All right, well, we'll take your thoughts. Specs text line 512-337-3776. Also fired up on our social media pages, our Twitter account, at the Horn ATX, Instagram, all those places where you find us. But your contribution always welcomed here on the show of the people. Let's start with the headlines. Get you up. I know you're busy over the weekend. Get you caught up on everything that went down over the weekend. Let's start with the Longhorns. Let's get the news. Sinus and snoring specialists bring you the headlines. You got trending topics, busy weekend for the Burnt Orange on white, on the courts and fields, including the Longhorn basketball teams, both winning in Fort Worth yesterday to wrap up their regular seasons. Both took care of business. Shaka Smart's 15th-ranked Longhorns finished a 3-0 week with a 64-64 76-64 win over TCU. Andrew Jones led five Longhorns in double figures with 16. Courtney Ramey added 13 points and 6 assists. Horns improved to 17-7 on the year for head coach Shaka Smart.
Yeah, I thought the guys did a good job of just staying connected with each other on defense. TCU actually made some tough shots, but I thought our defensive effort was good. There was good aggressiveness. And then in the half court for us on offense, we did a nice job with pace, and Matt and Courtney and Andrew did a good job attacking, getting in the paint, and finding shots for guys.
Longhorns have won 4 out of 5 down the stretch. They will be the 3 seed at the Big 12 tournament this weekend in Kansas City. It'll start Thursday night for the Horns. And they'll play Texas Tech, the final game of the day on Thursday. Red Raiders are the 6th seed, but they have beaten Texas twice this year, swept them 2 of the 7 losses for the Longhorns. Yesterday afternoon in the Fort Worth, it was the Texas women wrapping up their regular season with a 69-60 win over the Horned Frogs. They finish at 17-8. They also will be headed to the Big 12 tournament and begin play on Friday. After the game, Longhorn forward Charlie Collier announced that she plans to forego her senior season and will instead enter the 2021 WNBA draft when the season's over. 6'5 junior leads Texas with 21 points a game, 12 rebounds. She could be the number one overall pick of that draft. The Dallas Wings, by the way, currently own the top 2 picks in that draft. She could be staying in Texas. We'll see. In Houston yesterday afternoon, Texas baseball team clinched a series win over the Houston Cougars with an 8-2 victory. Right-hander Kobe Kubelcheck pitched 6 solid innings, earned his 2nd win of the season. Longhorn pitching was outstanding all weekend, highlighted by Ty Madden's complete game 14-strikeout masterpiece on Friday night in a 1-0 victory. Longhorn 7-5 on the year now. They are back in action tomorrow, hosting Sam Houston State. UFCU Dish Falk Field, 6:30, first pitch there. NBA All-Star Weekend, as we mentioned, wrapped up last night with Team LeBron taking down Team Kevin Durant, 170-150. The Greek freak Giannis Antetokounmpo led all scorers with 35, 16 for 16 from the field. He was named the Kobe Bryant All-Star MVP. Also in Atlanta over the weekend, Portland's Anthony Simmons was the dunk contest winner. Steph Curry won the 3-point shootout. Pacers forward Domantas Sabonis won the skills challenge. In golf, Bryson DeChambeau held off Lee Westwood yesterday to win the Arnold Palmer Invitational at Bay Hill. That's his first victory since the U.S. Open back in September. And in NASCAR, Kyle Larson won the Pennzoil 400 at Las Vegas Motor Speedway.
This hour brought to you by Sinus and Snoring Specialists. Get sinus and snoring relief with Dr. Daniel Slaughter at Sinus and Snoring Specialists, 512-601-0303 or sinussnoringent.com.
I was rooting for Lee Westwood. That dude, I don't think I've ever seen him win a tournament before. I've seen him close. I've seen him gag. But I've never seen him pick up a trophy. You know what I mean? And I was rooting for him. 46 years old, I think 46, 47. I was saying, come on, man. This is yours. It's right there.
Yeah, he's been one of those labeled best player never to win a major.
Never to be able to make that 8-foot putt.
Yeah.
But he was making them yesterday. I gotta give it to him, man. He made a lot of clutch putts that were pars that had to be made. But he just never took advantage. And DeChambeau's just knocking it all over the place, and it's so close to the green where he knocks it, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah. I don't know. Did you see him on Saturday when he went across the water on the par 5?
And cheering to the fans?
Yeah.
It was nice to see fans out there, too.
That was cool, and they were chanting for him. If you missed that on Saturday, you know, DeChambeau's the longest hitter on the tour, and it was like the hole at Bay Hill was like it's like a big C, right?
Yeah.
And so the tee box aligns with the green. So it just does like a big horseshoe, right? But normally you would play it up into the fairway and then
sure, right to left a little bit, not a lot.
Yeah, there's water, you know, across. And DeChambeau turned on the tee box and blasted it over the water. The wind was blowing the
right.
Is that
going to the bunker then?
Yeah, well, he hit it. It was a 550-yard par 5, and he hit it to within 40 yards.
Greenside bunker, I think,
yeah,
right there.
Well, in the rough, short of the fairway. It's normally a 3-shot hole. He's 40 yards out in 1. So playing his 2nd shot, which was incredible, and the crowd went crazy, and he ends up winning this tournament. So announcing his presence. You know, Jordan Spieth was on the leaderboard, and he was there again. Kind of felt like on Saturday he was going to be, you know, someone who could win that tournament. But
he's figuring out some things. You can tell that he is.
But I think that's like 3 or 4 times this year that he's played into
top
Sunday
10.
With a chance. And, yeah, he's putting himself in the mix. He's just not closing right now. But you do feel like he's close, right? He's
You can see it. He still rattles his own brain, but he's hanging in there. He's making some shots, but when he goes bad, he goes double bogey bad.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah, it's a couple holes. That's the margin on that tour. But yeah, DeChambeau held off your guy Lee Westwood to win that tournament. We're only a couple weeks out to the Dell Technologies Match Play. World Golf Championships coming to Austin.
It's the Players
of the
this week. This is the fun one.
Yeah, the Players.
The fun course, yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's the Players this week, and then we're 2 weeks to Dell Match Play.
Yep.
So the top 64 players in the world will be descending on the capital city for some good golf. And so we'll get into that coming up later in the month. Also, a lot to do. There's a lot on this Monday morning, but there's also a lot coming. As we mentioned, the Eyes of Texas report, the president of the University of Texas, Jay Hartzell, impaneled a committee to look into the origins of the Eyes of Texas, do the history, background, the deep dive, dig into that situation. And the report, 95 pages long, is due tomorrow, due to be out. And our friend Brian Davis from the Austin American-Statesman, I know he had an interview and did a Zoom call over the weekend or on Friday with several members of that committee, and then the president, Jay Hartzell. So we'll dive into that controversy. And, we did talk to our friend Quan Cosby, who was on that committee last week, and he believes that, this will be the final say on it from the university. He thinks that, people will be able to read all the information, the history of the Eyes of Texas, and then make up their own mind.
And you will be singing it.
Yeah, I think
when it all comes out.
Yeah, well, and
it's said and done.
Yeah, and we'll see if it can put some finality on the conversation, because I think their 95-page report will suggest that the history says that it's not a racist song by any stretch, and people can read it and make up their own minds. And it was a cross section of people on this committee, professors, people like Quan Cosby, who played the game at Texas, and well-established player, people like that. But that will be out tomorrow. So that's to look forward to. NFL free agency is around the corner, so you're going to hear a lot around the National Football League, including reports this morning that Philadelphia Eagles tight end Zach Ertz could be traded here shortly. The Eagles are one of those teams that are big time up against the salary cap. They traded Carson Wentz to the Indianapolis Colts. They're going to go with the young quarterback, likely Jalen Hurts. And remember, the Eagles also have the sixth pick in the draft. They could draft a quarterback if there's one available that they like. But Zach Ertz to be traded, likely in a cap casualty for them this week. And apparently teams are lining up. He's a good player, Zach Ertz.
Certainly is. When he's healthy, he's fantastic.
So there's a list of teams, apparently.
Well, it reminds you a lot of the guy from Kansas City. I mean, they're
Travis Kelce, yeah.
Yeah, they're real, real similar, especially in that short area where they can get one-on-one with linebackers, and they read the zone pretty well.
Yes, they do. So keep an eye on that this week. Coming up on the 9th, today is the 8th, so tomorrow is the franchise tag deadline for the Dallas Cowboys. It's when you have to put the tag, so you begin to put the franchise tag on players, because next week begins free agency, and still no sign that a Dak Prescott contract is going to get done with the Dallas Cowboys. But, Buck, the good, bad, and ugly, give Shaka Smart and his Texas basketball team credit. They went up to Fort Worth yesterday, finished off a 3-0 week, which is impressive. They finished strong, and the things we talked about that they had the opportunity to do,
mm-hmm.
they did. They're headed into the tournament with momentum.
Absolutely.
And, with West Virginia losing over the weekend, Texas is the third seed in the Big 12 tournament. It's Baylor, then Kansas, then Texas. They finish 17-7 overall, and head into the tournament with momentum, playing maybe their best basketball that we've seen them play, certainly since early January.
Well, the game yesterday was a really good game all the way through for them. I thought they played really well on defense. They didn't take anything for granted. There was never a real threat. There was a couple times that TCU hit some shots, but they earned all their shots yesterday. TCU earned everything that they had. They hit tough shots, but Texas played well on defense. So maybe this is the one that pushes them into the tournament, see how far they can go in the tournament. Maybe they'll end up playing Baylor in the end, because Baylor just went Baylor as usual. They are now
they've now hit
their stride back. They got back into the playing rhythm. So I'd like to see these two teams play before the big dance,
Well,
this would be good
for
Texas.
It wouldn't happen until the championship game.
Yes.
Texas is the 3 seed. They'll play Texas Tech on Thursday night.
Oh, no.
Winner likely to play Kansas. And Texas has swept Kansas this year.
That's right.
So Texas will face a team that swept them in Texas Tech, and then if they were to could find a way to get some revenge there against the Red Raiders, who, as you mentioned, Baylor smoked Texas Tech yesterday, 88-73 in Waco.
Yeah, it wasn't that close.
I know. Think about this. We know they have Jared Butler, and they have, the two great guards. But then Macy O'Teague, who's like their third point guard, he could be a point guard if he needed to be, step up, scored 35 points.
How about that? About that guy coming off the bench.
Yeah, they're just loaded with great, good players. He's the third guy you got to worry about, and he scores 35. And for the third-ranked Baylor Bears, who probably the second-best team in the country, they and Gonzaga, they're 21-1 now. So Texas would see Tech Thursday night. Winner likely plays Kansas. And then, Baylor is in the bracket, on the side of the bracket with West Virginia and Oklahoma State. said, you know, Baylor and Texas wouldn't see each other until the championship.
Doesn't really matter for Baylor. If they lost the first game, they're still going to be a number one seed, right?
Oh, yeah. And that's so, what you wonder.
It depends on how they play this now, you know?
Well, that's always the question when you get to a tournament scenario is, you know, who's motivated? What is the motivation?
I would say Baylor will be motivated because they've got it running on all cylinders again. They don't want to lose that again. You know what I mean?
Correct.
They want to keep playing well. They don't want to say, hey, let's go rest. We've had enough rest. We didn't play enough games here, so we need to be full throttle. I believe that's the way they'll play it.
Well, it's amazing that, you know, on Saturday, Oklahoma State, without Cade Cunningham, the phenomenal freshman, beat West Virginia in Morgantown. Now they're going to turn around and play them in the first game of the Big 12 tournament. So they got to play again. And the winner of that game, West Virginia, Oklahoma State, would play Baylor if Baylor's able to beat whoever wins the K-State TCU play-in game, essentially, in the first round of the Big 12 tournament on Wednesday. So,
Zay, what do you think? Cunningham going to play, or is it, no, my
pro-toe.
Ankle's still
pro-toe.
Not. Yeah, is that pro-toe, pro-ankle, or whatever? Is he going to get in the game and play? I think he's going to be very, very careful. If his ankle's still sore, I don't think he's going to take any chances.
Yeah, I wouldn't play him. There's no point to play him in the Big 12 tournament, you know, when you're about to go to Indianapolis. So that's the main objective.
Like, they're going, right?
Yeah, they're going. Oklahoma State. So they're fine. They don't have anything to worry
that's
about.
That's true.
They just want to be playing good basketball at this time of the year. Like
the other guys
else.
Need to be playing well, which they have been without him.
Yeah, yeah. This is good for the other guys.
Yeah, and, you know, as we say, tournament scenarios ahead of the actual tournament, the madness. Who is motivated? Who wants to be there?
Right.
If you're Texas, you just want to show up and play good basketball and continue the mojo.
I would agree.
Here's Texas Tech Thursday night. They've beaten you twice. I think you're better, at least player to player. I mean, Texas Tech is the sixth seed. They got smoked by Baylor, as we mentioned yesterday. They're a beatable team, but Chris Beard has had Shaka Smart's number here this year and over the last several years. So that's a revenge opportunity. And you really just want to be peaking because, you know, if you win that, you're likely to play Kansas. But the other side of that is, you know, Rick Barnes, as long as he was here at Texas, was not big on the tournament, right? It was just the last thing you want to do is play four games in 4 days and, you know, wear your guys out. And, you know, all of a sudden you're headed to Indianapolis with dead legs. But you did win the Big 12 tournament. If you can get there, we'll see.
But you've got enough players here. It's not like
your depth.
Yeah, your depth should be fine enough. You should get players in the game and play them. It doesn't change your seeding. I don't think it will. You know, I don't think Texas all of a sudden goes from a 3 to a 2. I think they'll end up being maybe a 3 anyway. So I don't think you're going to move to be a 2. Well, you possibly could if you won the Big 12 tournament, right?
Yeah. Well, and that's, you know, we said last week on Monday that Shaka Smart's team has the opportunity to still finish this with a strong run. And would because even last Monday, the question was, has this been a good season or not? I mean, where is the bar? Going 3-0, winning at Oklahoma on Thursday night was the big one to get that victory. You know, they didn't finish in second place in the Big 12 in the regular season. They finished in third place, just behind Kansas. But they swept Kansas. This year, which is a big feather in the cap of Shaka Smart and this team. And then, you know, Baylor's the best team in the conference, no doubt about it. So still a strong season. Can you complete it? This does look like a team, Buck, that can do some damage in Kansas City, and they do look like a team that's built, if they're playing their best, to do some damage in the tournament itself come the following week.
No, no, I'd want that game. If I was Texas, I'd want to go. I'd like to play Baylor for the tournament championship. I'd be geared into, if I was Shaka, saying, no, we want to win the tournament.
Zay, what are you on motivation for a Big 12 tournament? I know different coaches are different. You know, some it's the biggest deals. For some, it's kind of just protect your players, don't get anybody hurt, and don't wear yourself out.
Yeah, I'm with that. Like, I'd rather save the legs and get ready for the NCAA tournament. And you've played all these teams already, and yes,
twice.
You want to go in. Exactly.
You want to play Baylor again, don't you? Don't you want to get another?
Or not really?
Maybe
I don't know about that.
I don't know.
Don't
if
wish
you want
for
to
that.
Play. No, because if you get drove by Baylor going into the tournament,
yeah,
your morale
true.
Isn't the highest. So,
yeah. But you play to win the game.
That's right.
Yeah, absolutely. Right? Absolutely.
You do. It's hard. That's the line, right? I mean, you save the legs. Don't get anybody hurt. Be peaking for the following week when you get to Indianapolis. But the other side of that is if you beat Texas Tech, you get the revenge for a team that's beaten you twice. You also can improve your seed come big dance time. I think Texas right now at 15th in the country, probably sitting at a 3 or 4 seed. In the tournament, win over Tech maybe pushes you and locks you into the 3 seed, And gosh, if you got all the way to the championship and faced Baylor, you might be able to push yourself into a high three or even a C.
Well,
or
if you win it, you're going to get a two seed.
Yeah, for sure, if you were to beat Baylor. So that's the opportunity for the Longhorns coming up on Thursday. And I'd say, you know, if you're putting a grade on Shaka Smart, who, you know, he's been on the hot seat. He's a guy coach, you know, fans get frustrated with in year six. I think am I wrong to suggest that the regular season at 17-7 is a strong B+ for Shaka? I mean, it's not an A because you had that lull through late January into February where you lost some games. You did get swept by Tech. You lost that rough one at home to Oklahoma. But in the end, probably a solid B+ for the regular season, but still a lot of basketball to be played.
Well, I'm still disappointed they're not the second best team. I mean, that's my thought, where you need to be number two. Oh, you got to be number three, but that's okay. But the record's 17. It's a good record. And this is one of the toughest conferences in basketball.
Oh, yeah.
It really is. So
then the Big Ten, for sure.
Yes. All right. He'll be here another year.
Well, there's still people that wonder
get yourself some of that. He'll be here.
Well, if they get into the tournament as a three seed and lose on the first weekend.
No.
And don't make it into the second round, the second weekend.
If he just gets to the second round, he'll be here. I'll say he has to win that game.
Round of 32? Yeah. I think he's got to get to 16. I think he's got to get to the second weekend of the dance.
Chris Del Conte likes him a lot. He's a good man.
He is a good man.
He'll be back.
Boom, shakalaka. All right, good, bad, and ugly from the weekend. Texas women also win. Texas baseball team, and you're talking about good, we'll get into that. But Ty Madden, how about him on Friday night? A 1-0 win, complete game.
They were speaking of a gym. That was nice.
14 strikeouts. That dude, I mean, that guy is, you know, he's going to be a high draft pick into the baseball draft. Throwing 96 miles an hour. He has really emerged as the go-to Friday pitcher for Texas. And that was, you know, runs were hard to come by in that whole series. 1-0 Friday. They went into, you know, 11th inning in a 2-2 game on Saturday, and U of H took that game from David Pierce's team, won it in walk-off fashion. And yesterday, Kobe Kubacek comes back in, and they win it 4-2. So the Longhorns
good
are
series.
Real good series. 8-2 Longhorns win it, but because they played add-on late. But, yeah, solid. And so Texas now 7-5. And I don't say you forget about that opening weekend in Arlington when they got boat raced by the three SEC top 10 teams. But we all know that, you know, Texas, what everyone dealt with the week of that tournament and lack of practice time and reps and cages. And
it was like spring practice for them. And I think Coach looked at it that way, too.
Well, they faced three teams that are really, really good.
Yeah.
That were, you know, more prepared for that series. I think that's safe to say. But since that point, you know, they start the season 0-3. They're now 7-5, so they've gone 7-2. They've handled their business, and this will be a big week for them. They play Sam Houston State, the Longhorn baseball team, and then South Carolina, the Gamecocks, coming to town this weekend for a three-game series. So plenty of good on the Longhorn side. The Burnt Orange and White will take your thoughts on Shaka Smart and the Horns. Charlie Collier off to the WNBA draft, likely to be the first pick or the second pick, which the Dallas WNBA team owns both of them.
Mm-hmm.
They own the first two picks. So
and we're getting down close to Dak Prescott and the Cowboys making a decision. And Baker, money maker, is going to get paid.
You think so?
He's their guy. He's their franchise quarterback. Can you imagine the first time in years that we're talking – we're going to be talking about the Cleveland Browns not looking for a quarterback. I mean, they're not looking. They got their guy now.
Who? Oh, the Browns?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well,
that's it.
The only question on Baker Mayfield, A, did he see a UFO last week? Or
yeah.
He and his wife?
Come on, man.
But the other question is, I mean, there are some that would suggest that, you know, Baker's a product of that system and Kevin Stefanski, and, you know, this could be a Carson Wentz, Jared Goff scenario where you sign him to the big contract. Because you're coming off an 11-5 season and they want a playoff game.
The system is they got two good running backs.
They do.
And they're going to lean on the running game for a long, long time. That's the way they're going to play.
Well, you have two good running backs, a really good offensive line.
Yeah. Good wide receivers.
And remember, Jarvis Landry, Odell Beckham Jr. comes back for them, the young tight end. So he's part of it. But at the same time, you're going to pay him $40 million. And you're going to pay him one of these new going rate contracts.
Pay my moneymaker.
Yeah. But is he worth that? It's kind of the Dak Prescott story all over again.
But you can't do it. You can't not pay him now, right?
Well, and that's where the Cowboys are, right? The Dak Prescott wants over $40 million a season. And if the Cowboys had gotten the deal done 2 years ago, it was $33
million. That's right.
So
pay him, too, if you want
him. And that's where the Browns are. We'll bite it and we'll pay him $37, $38 million. But, yeah, he's going to get paid. Baker, touchdown maker, and
yeah,
the
man.
UFO. So, table set on a Monday. Those are your big stories of the weekend. We got plenty of everything. We'll take your good, your bad, and your ugly. Did you see Coming to America? Was it Aight. Did you watch some of the Oprah Winfrey interview with the former Royals last night? We'll take some thoughts on that. Craig Way has a Craig Way report. We've got your BNE fact of the day on this Monday. Glad you're with us. It is Show of the People, live, local, and digital. Remember, we're always streaming on your Horn app, your smart speaker, and at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Oh, man, the opinions rolling in on the Specs text line. This says, guys, sequels hardly ever as good as the original, and that's been the word on the Coming to America Part 2. It's coming with the number 2, America.
I just kind of watched. I watched.
Did you laugh? Were there some belly laughs in it?
Oh, I had some belly laughs.
Moments?
Anytime the barbers get together and they start in.
By the way,
said, look, it's Idi Amin. I'm like, oh, my God. I mean, when they start, they don't. They needed more action, I thought, in that. There wasn't enough funny stuff. It was more corny than kind of anything, you know? It just didn't do very much for me. I guess you get your expectations up really, really high that there's going to be some really funny stuff in it. I just kept looking at Eddie Murphy's fat little belly and kept going, oh, sorry about that. I just noticed that he had put on some poundage, I'm sorry, or some girth. I don't mean to call
girth.
Him fat,
wow.
But as you know.
Round-shouldered.
Yeah, okay, round-shouldered, that's exactly the way we put it. That way we can get away with it. But, that's yeah, right. Sorry, right. Sorry to say the word fat. But he was a little round-shouldered, and I kept checking that out. You know what I mean? It just was hard. Because they didn't hide it. You know what I mean? I thought they would hide it better.
Well, you know, age gets us all.
It does. It does. It really does. Believe me, every morning it gets me.
Father time. Father time.
Absolutely.
Except for Tom Brady.
Except for Tom Brady. I'm sorry about that. One gag keeps defeating it.
Yeah, Tom Brady is apparently negotiating a new contract with the. That's among.
Oh, and he'll take a pay cut to get more players.
That is among one of the top NFL stories of the morning, as far as you know, the NFL quarterback days of our lives. Who's doing what? And let me just. I'll run through a couple of headlines, and it's all quarterback related. Dak Prescott still no deal with the Cowboys. Tomorrow afternoon is the deadline as far as the franchise tag goes. Cowboys will likely put the tag on him tomorrow if a deal isn't done. That will keep him from hitting the free agent market. Tom Brady working on a contract extension. There's a report out this morning that the New England Patriots have a top quarterback in their sights. You know who that might be?
Who might that be?
Jimmy G. Jimmy Garoppolo, according to a report this morning, is the top target for New England Patriots to be their new quarterback. Of course, you know, Bill Belichick had a high opinion of Jimmy G back in the day before he was traded to San Francisco. And then, then Tom Brady walks to Tampa. But we'll see. And now, if you're going to eye Jimmy Garoppolo, that means the 49ers have to find another quarterback too, right? They might want to upgrade. Who would that be? Sam Darnold's name has been mentioned. San Francisco, you've heard their names surrounding the Deshaun Watson conversation down in Houston. But we know Houston's not taking calls on anybody that wants to talk about Deshaun. So we'll see. But that's the report. Boston may be setting their sights on one Jimmy Garoppolo there. And there's a report that the Bears were excited to hear that Russell Wilson has them among the four teams that he'd be willing to be traded to. And that they're working up a proposal that could include their draft picks and Khalil Mack.
Now you're talking. Give me Khalil Mack.
Yeah. Now, again, I don't think they're going to trade Russell Wilson in Seattle. But at the same time, the longer this goes on and the more acrimony that you know leaks out and there is, I guess there's always a chance. And, you know, if you're the Seattle Seahawks, you have to. Who's going to be your quarterback? At the end of it, you've got to come out with a top end, same thing with Dak Prescott. If you're not going to get this deal done, who's it going to be?
Right, because you know Russell Wilson will at least get you to the playoffs. No matter how bad the defense is or the offense is, Russell Wilson will get you into the playoff picture. Without him, and you don't get a quarterback, you don't get to the quarterback, you don't get to the playoffs anyway.
I know. Yeah, and you know Bears, we've run through the litany of all-time great Bears quarterbacks, and there aren't any. I mean, there aren't any. They mean Russell Wilson would immediately be the best quarterback they've ever had.
Right off the bat.
I mean, as soon as he walked in there at 32 right. years old, he's the best quarterback the franchise has ever had. But can they get him? I don't know. Of course, the other three teams on that list with the Bears, the Cowboys, okay, the Saints, who the Saints well, are.
That would scare you. That would scare you, too.
But again, I just think the Saints, there's no cap flexibility for them to pull that trade off. Like, they need Drew Brees to retire or else their cap is screwed as it is. Because Drew Brees has not yet announced. There was a video out over the weekend of him doing this intense workout. Like, is he going to come back? Is he not?
I don't know,
man. He still hadn't retired yet.
I was thinking, did I not say last week it was going to happen? It didn't happen last week, and it's Monday.
Still hasn't happened.
Still hasn't happened.
Yeah, I don't. And, you know this. You know, you and I speculated last week that maybe the Saints already know. Sounds like the Saints don't know either.
What?
Like Drew hasn't told anybody. Everybody assumes he's retiring. But
Sean
he hasn't
Payton's
retired
gotta
yet.
No, I mean, why would Drew Brees do that to the organization?
Sounds like he hasn't decided. Like he literally has not decided what he wants to do.
If his coach says he doesn't know, he really doesn't know.
He's going full Brett Favre here, playing the I'm not sure yet card.
But that messes with you when decisions that you have to make as an organization,
no doubt.
Right?
Financially, no question. No question. They need to know because as we talk about the Eagles, right, and their cap situation, there are a lot of teams in this league, in the NFL, that are way up against the cap. And the cap has come down pretty significantly this year because of the financial losses because of COVID and not having fans in stadiums and just the overall revenue down in the NFL. And so teams are feeling the crunch there. And that's where, you know, we know the Eagles already traded Carson Wentz. There's talk they may trade Brandon Brooks, their all-pro guard. They might trade Zach Ertz just to clear cap space, just to get themselves where they can do something, you know, to fill some holes in free agency and through the draft because their caps are up. And the Saints are in that same conversation. They've gone all in, the Saints, to try to win one more Super Bowl with Drew Brees, but it just hasn't happened yet. And now it's like the credit card, right? At some point that note comes due. On all the signings and the deals that have been cut, and then your cap catches up to you, and it's caught up to the Saints. So I don't think they would even be in the Russell Wilson conversation because of that. But Russell Wilson put him on their list: Bears, Saints, Cowboys, and who was the fourth team? I'm trying to recall.
Chicago,
Dallas, New Orleans, and it's Vegas. The Vegas Raiders.
Gosh, That's not going to be real for me until I see them actually do something there.
I know. And so those are the four. Russell Wilson has a guaranteed no trade clause, so he can tell them where I'll go. He's not getting traded, is he? At the end of the day,
no.
Russell Wilson will still be the quarterback in Seattle.
He'll be in Seattle.
But
I think Sam Darnold is not going to be with the Jets. Somebody's going to get, I believe, a really good quarterback who's just been in the wrong place for a while right now.
Yeah.
San Francisco would do well to get him.
Yeah, I mean, and again, I think the team that is really intriguing here as we get it to league business opening in the NFL are the Jets, because the Jaguars have the first pick.
Right.
The assumed first
That's
pick is Trevor Lawrence, right?
Right.
And Urban Meyer's going to take, and we know Urban Meyer's got, they're loaded with draft picks, right? They've got two first-round picks, two second-round picks.
Yeah, they're going to build their team around their quarterback.
And, you know, I've compared it to the Dallas Cowboys when Jimmy Johnson got there. Remember, Jimmy Johnson's, his first four ever draft picks with the Dallas Cowboys went to 25 or 26 Pro Bowls. It became the cornerstone of their team, including Troy Aikman, the quarterback. And, you know, you wonder if Urban Meyer can do something similar there, because they've got a ton of draft picks. They've got the first pick of every draft,
right,
every round, and Trevor Lawrence is going to be the first pick. But the reason the Jets are intriguing is they're two. And so they own that second spot. So, and there are teams that covet the BYU quarterback, Zach Wilson. And we know that there are quarterback desperate teams out there. And you're right. If the Jets decide that Sam Darnold's good enough, Sam Darnold can be their quarterback, you know, they can get a haul.
Maybe somebody, that's true also.
Team like the Bears, if they're putting Khalil Mack on the table, and you're going to stick with Sam Darnold, but you're going to get a haul of picks from the Bears to, and maybe a player like Khalil Mack, who's a star pass rusher, the Jets can come out smelling like a rose in this deal if they think Sam Darnold can be their franchise quarterback.
Well, you got a new coach. It's been about the coach. You know, it's been about the whole atmosphere in New York for Sam Darnold. And, you know, Gaze was not the guy. He wasn't the quarterback whisperer, you know.
Yeah.
He just wasn't. And that whole organization was a piece of junk. So, I mean, if you really think he's a good quarterback, which I think he is, he needs some new scenery. A new coach is new scenery.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And the new coach is Robert Saleh, who came in from San Francisco. He was the high energy.
Players like him.
Defensive coordinator. He's a defensive mind, but, you know, that's really. And the GM with the Jets is a guy named Joe Douglas. He came in from Baltimore.
That's right.
Out of that great organization. And he's a build through the draft kind of guy. But again,
they got a lot of people they can pick up to go along with Sam Darnold, too.
Right, and that's a very valuable pick. If everyone just assumes Trevor Lawrence is going one, they now hold the keys to the two pick. And, you know, then they, if they decide Sam Darnold can be their guy, that's a very valuable pick. They can get a king's ransom.
Yeah, I know
somebody to come up.
And if
take
I'm not
pick.
Taking a quarterback, I'm definitely taking a kid from
Correct.
Oregon. I'm taking the tackle.
Right. Or but you could actually. That's why I'm saying you could trade down and still maybe get him. Because
yeah,
if
that's
you,
right.
If the mock drafts that are out there are even
all these quarterbacks,
accurate, yeah, four quarterbacks off the board in the first four picks. You can trade back into the back half of the top 10 and still get a great player.
Yeah, I want that tackle that's going to be there for a long time.
Well,
if I'm going to keep Sam Darnold, yes.
You can wheel and deal this and still end up with a premier left tackle. That's why I say if you get involved with
I do not believe there's going to be four straight quarterbacks taken. I don't believe that's going to happen.
It's never happened. It has never happened. Three straight has happened on two occasions.
Yes.
We did that as a B&E fact of the day a couple weeks ago. But could be four, at least Todd McShay and some others with their mock draft saying it's going to be all, you know, because the first one is for sure in Trevor Lawrence. Most people think the second pick, whoever it is, it's the Jets or someone that comes in trades, is going to take Zach Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's the third pick. Someone could trade into that, and there's been talk that Carolina is trying to get to that third pick to take Justin Fields at Ohio State,
right?
And then the Atlanta Falcons are four, and they're likely to take a quarterback because Matt Ryan's 35 to be 36 years old, and they're sitting in the top five, and they're likely to take a QB on the board. So it could happen. It could actually happen because of the teams that are in the top four, and then the trades that could happen of teams coming up with the with picks three and four, like the Jet or two and three, I should say, to take a QB. All right, this says Jim McMahon was not bad in the Super Bowl shuffle. No, he wasn't a bad quarterback.
No,
but he wasn't a great quarterback.
Went on defense. The lefty, Bobby Douglas.
No, I mean, literally, I mean, I don't even think Bears fans would argue this. If Russell Wilson were traded to the Bears, he would be the best quarterback they've ever had.
He'd be the first best, the second best, and the third best.
Because he's better than Mike Tomczak. And Kyle Orton.
Lefty Bobby Douglas running
Rex
around.
Rex Grossman.
They were
You're damn right. You're damn right. All right, here's a quick note before we get to the Craig Way Report. It says, fellas, the other factors, in my opinion, with Shaka Smart is there's a new arena opening next year, remember? You don't want to open that bad boy with Shaka coming off a ho-hum season. Need excitement around the program. I say Sweet 16 or change is necessary. We'll see. We'll see. I still think that's pending.
You do?
Well, I mean, yeah, I think if they lose on the first weekend or they get a they still hasn't played through the – year six, they haven't played through the first weekend.
I know.
They are the defending NIT champions, though. The defending NIT champions.
Let's not forget, they have a championship banner, okay?
That's exactly
everybody.
Right. We come back. It'll be a little B&E fact of the daytime. We'll have some facts from the weekend. It was a busy one, to say the least. We're taking your good, your bad, and your ugly. And, yes, we will preview the President's Eyes of Texas report, the committee report, which is due out tomorrow. A lot to do. It's a good, bad, and ugly Monday here on B&E. First, Craig Way.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Grew up dreaming of being a cowboy.
And loving oh, man, happy Monday. Happy work week. Sun coming up on another beautiful day in Austin, Texas. And that song right there, Buck, the great Willie Nelson, 41 years ago this day, hit number one on the country charts.
I would see why.
41 years ago, 1980, Willie Nelson, my heroes have always been cowboys. Question on this Monday, what will the Cowboys be doing with Dak Prescott? Remember they always say, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys?
No.
What the heck are the Cowboys going to do with this Dak Prescott deal? Still, this is the lead story of the Dallas Morning News today. Kevin Sherrington, Cowboys still no closer to a long-term extension. Are they? You know, this is where your old grandpa would say, hey, blank or get off the pot, dude. Finish the deal here. Get this done or don't get it done.
They have to do it tomorrow, right?
I know. 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, I think, is the deadline.
Yeah, he'll be franchised. He'll be there for one more year, and then he'll be gone.
This story is so tired. I mean, it's 2 years in the making, and they're still doing this. How they can't get this deal done, I don't know. So when Jerry and Stephen Jones continue to say, he's our quarterback, well, no, he's not.
They don't want to get the deal done.
And that begs the question, why?
The deal is they don't want to get the deal done.
Well, we're going to talk to
would you wait till the last day? Is Jerry, does he really want that kind of spotlight?
Well, I mean, they say deadlines make deals, but is this even really a hard deadline? And they're just going to put the tag on him and continue to work towards a long-term deal to keep him off the market. It's just one of those. There's not a lot of teeth in the deadline, I guess, would be the issue. The Cowboys are at no risk of losing
him. And I still
him.
Would like to see him play. I'm sorry. I'd still like to see what he looks like. I know
coming off the ugly injury.
Well, yes. Yeah, I'm going to give him. I'll tag him and then watch him during the course of the year. But what if he's not moving like he used to move? What if he doesn't escape like he used to? What if he's weird in the pocket? But it's going to take you more than the first game to figure that out. It's going to take you a couple games till he gets loose enough to you really can make a decision, you know, game four or game five. Is he worth this deal? If not, then you franchise him, and then he goes about his business, because you're not franchising him and then making a deal at the end of the season. He's not coming back to you.
No.
That's one too many, let's get married next week. Uh-oh, sorry, I got to go play golf. We can't get married next week. Maybe the week after. You can't keep doing that.
Pushing it back. So 41 years ago, that was your number one song on the country chart. You know, 50 years ago today, 1971, Fight of the Century, Buck. Fight of the Century went down. You remember this one.
Of course, I watched it last night. That's what I was watching.
Muhammad Ali and the undefeated Smoking Joe Frazier in a 15-round, just a bludgeoning.
It was on ESPN last night. It was
as good as it was then?
It's always good. If you ever want to see a fight, you can watch all your MMAs and all that other stuff. Watch Frazier and Ali get after each other. I mean, Ali got hit with a punch that no man should ever, ever get off the ground. I don't even know. It was just a reaction, him bouncing off the turf and just getting back up, because that would have sent most guys to the hospital for good.
Well, that was 50 years ago today. So the weekend that was, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Texas basketball with a big win last night. We'll talk more about the Longhorn weekend in basketball and what it means moving forward. Also, the baseball team with a solid weekend. You just heard Craig Way run it down. In the All-Star weekend, 170 to 150. You'll have a B&E fact of the day related to the NBA All-Star game last night here coming up. But Isaiah Collier, the highlights of the weekend for you as a basketball junkie. The game itself, you said, was slam dunk contest. How was that?
It was okay. I mean, Anthony Simons, he took the trophy, and he really impressive dunk that he had was he put the like a Nerf kind of hoop on the top of the square on the backboard, and then he put the ball on top of there, which is probably about, 10 feet, I don't know, 7 inches, something like that. But he went and got it from the top of the square and then dunked it.
He almost hit his face on the rim on that one.
Yeah, he tried to kiss the rim.
Did he?
No.
He could have, but he didn't want to mess his teeth up, I'm pretty sure. He turned his face away from there. He can get up.
Yeah. Well, it's like the dunk contest. The biggest names don't participate anymore, which hurts. I mean, if you had like a Zion Williamson in it or some of these guys, there'd be more appeal to it. But at the same time, like all the dunks have been done. I mean, at some point, there's just aren't any more dunks you can do that haven't been done before. And then Steph Curry won the three-point shootout. Devonta Sabonis won the skills challenge. And then Blake Griffin, this is interesting. You know, Blake Griffin at one point won a dunk contest when he dunked over a car. Remember the dunking over the Kia?
Right.
Well, Blake Griffin has been bought out by the Pistons. He signed with Brooklyn.
Yeah.
And can Blake Griffin still help them, Zay? Can he still...
Yeah. I mean, he's got to swallow his pride a little bit, but...
He didn't have any pride. He only averaged about 12 points a game.
Yeah, he's been struggling this year.
He hasn't had a dunk in like 400 days.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird?
He tried to get that buyout as soon as possible, for sure, but he can help the Nets, of course.
What are they building a super team?
That dude hasn't dunked a basketball in like forever, like a regular dunk. Can he not get above the rim anymore?
Doesn't feel like it, but can he help the Brooklyn Nets try to win a title? That'll be the question now in the second half of the NBA season. Let's get to your B&E fact of the day.
B&E fact of the day brought to you by Dr. S. Brent Brotzman, an orthopedic surgeon providing personalized, empathetic, and cutting-edge care to all athletes from the recreational to the elite. BrotzmanSportsMedicine.com.
All right, Giannis, the Greek Freak, MVP, Kobe Bryant MVP of the All-Star Game, 16 for 16. Perfect field goal percentage in the 170 to 150 victory. He broke the record. There was one other player in an All-Star game who was perfect from the field. Do you know who that was? And no, it wasn't Oscar Robertson, who's always your guy. Will Chamberlain, it was not who you always guess. We'll have the answer to that on the other side of the quick timeout. Then we'll reset the Longhorn conversations from the weekend and our coach's corner next hour, too. It's B&E on the Horn.